This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, there's so much bad news. I mentioned, you turn on the news and there's, you know, death and destruction and just awful news. It's so depressing. It's great when you see good news and a feel-good story. And the story I'm about to tell you has made some people cry. That's how good they feel about it. There's a guy, he played college football, but he didn't get drafted. And he showed up one day at the Cleveland Browns training facility. And he lied to someone at the Cleveland Browns, in the Cleveland Browns organization, to get himself onto the at least preseason roster to try to make the team. He told someone that he knew someone within the organization, which was not true. But then whoever he told said, okay, go on in. He's so poor that he's been sleeping outside of the Cleveland Browns training facility. He doesn't have enough money to get a local place to live, to stay in a hotel. And then the Cleveland Browns' first preseason game happened. His name is Damon Sheehy Giuseppe. And when the first week and the fourth week of preseason games are really meaningless, all the preseason games are meaningless, even the second and third preseason games, those are the games that the stars play usually a little bit just to get warmed up. But in the Cleveland Browns' first preseason game, this guy, Damon Sheehy Giuseppe, who is so poor and is sleeping outside their practice facility, and he had a lie to someone to get a tryout with the team. He ran back a punt 86 yards for a touchdown in the Cleveland Browns' first preseason game of 2019. There were people that were actually crying. And this is the kind of, for guys like this, the preseason is not just a waste of time. For most football fans, the preseason is a waste of time. But for guys like this, and there are many guys out there like this guy who, if chances are, they're not going to make it onto an NFL roster and they're going to be working at some place like Home Depot. They're going to be working someplace that obviously won't pay them nearly as much money as if they made it onto an NFL roster. Just remember the name Damon Sheehy Giuseppe. He went to a tiny college, a college called Phoenix College. He had to talk his way into a tryout with the Cleveland Browns by lying to someone at the front door saying that he knew their vice president of player personnel, Alonzo Highsmith, when he really didn't. But then once he got in there, he ran a 4.38 40-yard dash, and that made him stick around. And then what he did in their first preseason game by taking a punt and returning it 86 yards for a touchdown. Boy, the Saints could use a guy like that. Do you realize last year the Saints had by far the lowest punt return yardage in the NFL? Their longest punt return last year was 16 yards, the Saints. So they've got a couple of guys that are specifically on their preseason roster to run back punts. And I got... All right, you just see, and I know there's a lot of people who think NFL players are overpaid, and I can understand that when you're seeing guys now routinely and regularly making 10, 12, 15, 18, 20, 25, $30 million a year for playing a game. The way I look at that, do I think that that's being overpaid? No, it's supply and demand. It's free society, free market economics. It's capitalism. Those organizations wouldn't be paying those players. The Saints would not be paying Michael Thomas $20 million a year. They wouldn't be paying Drew Brees $25 million a year if they were going to lose money while doing so. So, but then you see a guy like this, again, just a great story. And I hope Damon Sheehy Giuseppe makes the Cleveland Browns. And if he doesn't make that team, hopefully someone else will pick him up sleeping outside the training facility. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. So millionaire or gazillionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his prison cell in Manhattan over the weekend. And now he's already a convicted pedophile. He's awaiting trial for another pedophile case, and he was never going to get out of a cage again with all of the evidence against him. And you would think if a dangerous man to our young women, and not only is he a pedophile, but he's also sex trafficked underage girls as well. Now, you would think when a guy like that dies, when a guy like that checks out, that we could all celebrate together, right? But as soon as he was found dead in his prison cell, people started arguing on social media. People said, well, how does this happen? Well, I'll tell you, he was supposed to be on suicide watch because he had tried once before to hang himself a couple of weeks ago. But he was not on suicide watch. Not only wasn't he on suicide watch, he hadn't been checked on for hours before he was found dead. And many of the employees of that federal prison in the federal prison housing where he was staying in New York City, many of the officers had been working a lot of overtime and they were tired. This is what has come out since the 66-year-old convicted pedophile was found dead. Now you check social media, and look, it's very frustrating because I don't know who else he would have named as pedophiles. There's a lot of high-ranking officials, from former presidents of the United States to
some would tell you a current president of the United States.
Some would say a current president of the United States. Princes in England, one of them who was in a car yesterday going to church with the Queen. His name has been, again, he owned an island, Jeffrey Epstein, and he brought people down to his island on his airplane to do sex with underage girls. That's the whole story. And people are frustrated because if he stayed alive, they were hoping he would have been able to give us more information on who else was a dirty pedophile, and like him. And again, he's not only a pedophile; he's a sex trafficker. So we can't even enjoy the fact that this monster will now not have to be paid for by taxpayers for the rest of his life in a prison. He's a goner now. But people they're fighting with each other on social media. I saw on Facebook they're fighting over how he died, why he died, who killed him.
Well, first, I find it fascinating this. Look, the guards have one job, okay? And job one is don't let Jeffrey Epstein kill himself. Well, if you believe that. So it's like, well, they were overworked, they were tired. I have one job here. And you might say they're offsets of job one. Job one would, I guess, be keep this station on the air right now during this time. Job 1A, or maybe it's the other way around, would be don't use any of the dirty words that we can't use. And then there are various things after that. So can I, if something slips and something gets on the air that shouldn't, can I just say, well, I was, you know, busy over the weekend and really tired. Can I use that?
I don't know if you're allowed
I don't know
to.
If you can use tired as your excuse for, well, I dropped the ball on job one. Or, of course, the verb to suicide. Was he suicided?
Well,
I love that. I love how the everyday lexicon gets changed over events like that, like this. Was he in fact suicided?
And a lot of people on social media are blaming the Clintons, and if you're blaming the Clintons, like a lot of people on social media are, this would be their 51st victim. This would, if the Clintons were responsible for the deaths of everybody who people on social media say they're responsible for, their body count now is up to 51, which would be incredible. Because they would be the most proficient serial killing couple in the history of our country. And what makes that incredible is one of them was president for 8 years, the other was Secretary of State, United States Senator, and almost president. And there are many, many people on Facebook and on social media who honestly believe the Clintons had something to do with not only Jeffrey Epstein dying, but 50 other people as well.
Have you watched House of Cards?
Would make them incredible. So, look. I don't know why Epstein was not on suicide watch, because he had tried once before, as I mentioned. He had tried once before, and it didn't work. But they're saying he was not on suicide watch. And how does a guy have anything that he could kill himself with in his cell if he's already tried to kill himself once? And then you've conspiracy theorists who are showing his picture being wheeled out on the stretcher, saying that wasn't him.
Right.
Which happens every time there's a mass shooting. Then you have those people.
Well, one would think that, I mean, I think in prison, I don't think you have, not to be too coarse here, but you don't have shoelaces, you don't have a belt. Those are taken from you. After that, I mean, I would imagine it boils down to just a bed sheet.
They shouldn't make bed sheets in prison that you can hang yourself with.
Well, and if Jeffrey Epstein is not on suicide watch, then is he on watch to not make his bed sheet into a noose?
And when we talked about Epstein before on this show, I said, could you imagine what his life is like in a little cell that he's never getting out of, when he literally had anything he wanted? He was so rich, he could fly anywhere he want. Any day of the week, he could eat any type of food he wanted. Any day of the week, he's got $177 million apartment on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. He's got the place on the island. This guy could do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. He had 13-year-old girls at his whenever he wanted them. This guy did whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it, and suddenly, He's in a cage, a very small cage, and he can't do anything. You had a feeling he was gonna. I mean, if you had all of that taken away from you, Most people would probably want to kill themselves too. If you, I mean, you couldn't even turn on a radio or a television. You're sitting in a small cage, and he wasn't going to get out ever. They denied him bail because his trial, when it does come up, he wanted to be out on bail until the trial came up, but the judge said no. No, there's too many underage women whose safety is at risk if you're out. And so his lawyer failed in keeping him out of prison while he was waiting for his trial. And then once his trial comes, they have so much evidence against him. He was never going to win, and he was going to spend the rest of his life in prison. So the 66-year-old, look, I'm not as jaded as some of the people on social media, where I think, oh, there's no way that he killed himself. I don't understand, though, why he wasn't on suicide watch, why the guards who were working, they said they were working a lot of overtime, and they were tired. And,
look, they have, tired. They have cameras everywhere. They have cameras everywhere, and all you have to do is have somebody making minimum wage or whatever it is to sit there and watch the camera and be like, okay, who's this guy? Doesn't matter. Just don't let him make his bed sheet into a noose.
Mm. Why haven't we seen any, or at least heard about any video of the whole thing?
Right. Yeah, I mean, we've seen video of dumb criminals getting themselves locked into bank vaults that have automatic lockdown and can't be opened until Monday morning at 9 a.m. or whatever. And those always have cameras, and you see that. So you mean to tell me that federal prisoner 000001A can't be watched over? I mean, for some people, this is justice. For some people who don't have, who aren't that rooted in the hereafter, this is justice. The man had the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. He took his own life. For some, that's not good enough. They want they wanted him to rot literally in prison.
No. Yeah, some say that that's worse than the death penalty. Just staying in prison for the rest of your life,
right,
with no chance of getting out.
There are some who say he's gone and he's dealing now with his creator or whatever his maker or whatever you call it.
Mm. But what I took out of all of this, because of social media and how divided many of us are in America in the year 2019, can't even enjoy that together without people screaming at each other on social media, saying that he was murdered or he didn't commit suicide. But can't we enjoy one decent thing together?
So you didn't enjoy all the memes that were the memes were just starting Saturday morning. The memes were just really incredible and creative and funny. Some of them.
Yeah, well, some of the people that hate our president were blaming him, our current president. Some people who were not fans of the Clintons blaming them. And like I said, if you believe a lot of the stuff you read about the Clintons, this is their death count is up to 51 now. People that were in their way, that knew them, and just did them wrong, or could have done them wrong, they all ended up dead.
Probably the highest up until now, up until Jeffrey Epstein, I would say Vince Foster was probably first on that list, at least.
He's on that early list of 51. But if that's the case, I mean, think about that for a minute. 51. I mean, think about serial killers in our country. I don't think we have too many serial killers that have killed 51 people, let alone a couple that had been a two-term president and a secretary of state. That's incredible if they were able to pull that off, huh?
Some people were just, once again, losing their minds over Hillary, because it's really the focus, I think, is on Hillary.
Mm.
That this is just another incident where she is invincible as far as persecution. Prosecution, not persecution.
All right. Coming up on the show, be careful today because there is a heat advisory. And it was real hot this past weekend, like it always is in August here in New Orleans. And we had a tradition that some people say is so cool, and others say that it's the most ridiculously stupid tradition that the city of New Orleans has. That's coming up here on Bayou 94.7. 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. Ben and Jerry, the ice cream makers. They've come out with a new Bernie Sanders ice cream. Well, it makes sense. They're all up in Vermont, right? You buy one pint, and somebody else gets 2 pints free. Coming up next on the show, heat advisory today. You better watch out. And we're going to talk about a tradition that happened this past Saturday here in New Orleans that some people love, and other New Orleanians call it ridiculously stupid. Stay tuned for that next on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Be careful if you're going to be outside today because the local weather folks are telling us a heat advisory is set for today as high temps will make it feel like it's about 112 degrees. And if it feels like it's 112 degrees, for some people, that's 112 degrees. If that's what it feels like, that's what it is. But be careful. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. There's hot, and then there's August in New Orleans. So be careful out there today. And this past Saturday, we had a tradition in New Orleans, and the reason we have this tradition is because it's so hot, and the folks in New Orleans will try to do anything to get people to come to New Orleans. I mentioned that last week when it was the White Linen Night that they had last weekend, a couple of weekends ago. That's why they have that, and that's why they will now have Dirty Linen Night, because White Linen Night can get a little rough. But that's why they have White Linen Night two weekends ago. And that's why they have the Red Dress Run this past weekend. They do it because August is the slowest month out of the year for doing business in the city of New Orleans. So, you know, whether you're doing a White Linen Night, whether you're doing the Red Dress Run, it's a reason for people to come into the city and to drink in the bars, eat in the restaurants, and have a good time in the streets. That's why that these events happen. And I have friends on both sides of the Red Dress Run argument. I have friends that think it's so much fun and it's a blast. And then I have friends who were born and raised in and around New Orleans, lived here their whole lives, say it's the most ridiculously stupid event that they have in the city every year. But again, to get people into town in the most brutally hot, almost hell on earth-like temperatures, to get people into the city to visit, patronize the businesses, that's why they do it.
Yeah, the folks I know at the Convention and Visitors Bureau, they tend to not use that phrase. What did you call it? Hotter than the face of hell? They tend not to put that in the brochures.
It's hell on earth.
Hell on earth, like that's right. I'm very. It's interesting that you mentioned you have friends born and raised here who don't afford themselves the opportunity of doing events like this, whether it's the heat or whether it's the it's just not for them. There, I will go you one more, and there are some of those, maybe the same people, who want to get out of town during, whether it be Jazz Fest or during Mardi Gras. Some just aren't down with, and they're locals, and they're born and raised, but they're just not down with everything that goes along with it. I mean, being, you know, having heart issues myself, being downtown during the day in New Orleans, you don't see me too often. However, I have no problem with any of these things. I support day drinking in all its forms.
Mm. And if there's other things going around, going on along with that day drinking, hey. But it's interesting. I've lived in New Orleans now over 11 years, and I live in the warehouse district. So I live in the middle of all of this. And I, for the last several years, I see on the Red Dress Run Saturday, I see all kinds of people in red dresses. And what's interesting is it's the one Saturday of the year where you will see a lot of drunk, attractive females in red dresses at 3 in the afternoon. It's the one day of the year that can claim that. Our program director of this radio station is Kat, and she said to me, she wanted me to take part in the red dress run this year, and I told her a couple of things. I said, look, hey, it's too hot. Saturday's my day off. It's so hot.
How hot is it?
Well, look, it's so hot. If I was going to put on a red dress, I'm not going to sweat in it. I'm not going to do that. But
you make a point.
One of the things that, hey.
That's not the funniest it's so hot punchline I've ever heard, but I mean.
If it made some people have a good time, it made some people happy, and it made some local businesses around here some money, God bless it, right? Hey. That's what life's all about. And the one thing I do remember about Red Dress Run Saturday every year is it's always so bleeping hot. That's why they have it, because those people wouldn't be in the city, in the bars, in the restaurants, if there wasn't a Red Dress Run. So they do that for business. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. If you want to see something very interesting, I've got this guy's picture, his mugshot, and the story on our website at bayou957.com. The reason it's making news and the reason I put it up there is a drug dealer in England. And he's a fugitive right now. The police, bobbies, are looking for him. And so they put his mugshot out there. And it's pretty funny. He's bald for at least half of his head, but the hair on the back is standing straight up. It's standing straight up. And so when remember, he's a drug dealer, this guy. And the cops are looking for him. He's 21 years old. His name is Jermaine Taylor. And once they put his picture up, the jokes that started coming in underneath the mugshot are hilarious. But now the cops are saying, don't do that, because it's against the law in England to harass people online. Can you believe that? I'm just going to read you a couple of comments what these people said after seeing this mugshot. Quote, looks like his hairline is on the run too, unquote, one social media user said. Another social media user commented, quote, his hairline goes back further than my family tree, unquote. And they just keep coming. And the police had to jump in and say, look, although, you know, they're enjoying some of the lines, our advice is be careful on social media. Just like you would in any other form of communication, if you say something about someone which is grossly offensive or is of an indecent, obscene, or menacing character,
right,
then the police will come looking for you. Can you imagine that, making a joke about this guy's hairline, this drug dealer in a mugshot?
Well, the hairline is not what strikes me first. What strikes me is all of it's almost as if all the hair on the back of his head has been brushed or combed so it's straight up.
That's what makes the mugshot.
I hate to say this, but have you seen Tiger Woods without a golf hat, without a cap on? It's very reminiscent of Tiger Woods, because he's got some patchy baldness.
But if this, like you said, if this drug dealer's mugshot, if they just brushed the back of his hair back,
wouldn't be that big of a deal.
No one would even say anything. It would just look like a guy, a bald guy, or whatever the case may be. But because the back of his hair is standing on top, that's why people are doing this.
I put my hand over that hair, and he looks normal, you know?
If you want to see this, because it's pretty funny, just be careful. Anything you say underneath it, because the cops in England might come looking for you. Go check it out on our website at bayou957.com. Coming up next, we look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. And we hope you'll stay tuned for that report here on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
August 12th. It was today in 1989.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
I remember this. The Rolling Stones played a secret gig at a small club in New Haven, Connecticut called Toad's Place. That place has been open forever. It's still open now. And people who went there that night, they thought they were seeing some other band that they never heard of. And then once they were inside and the Stones are ready to go on, they locked the doors and they disconnected the payphones. So people couldn't, because that's in 1989, there were still payphones.
Sure.
They cut off all the phones to inside that club.
A little
so
leery about locking the clubs in a New England, locking the doors in a New England club.
Yeah, 1989. And it was the Stones' warm-up gig for their Steel Wheels tour.
Now, how many people would that place hold? Could you get in there, ballpark?
Toads?
Yeah.
It's been a while. I would say probably 500 to 750.
Despite the fact that they locked the doors when the show started, I'm sure there's probably upwards of 1 million people who claim they were there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot more people said they were there than were actually there. But it was a big deal, because I remember that people said that they tried calling, but they couldn't. Yeah, you can't do that in this day and age.
The doors.
Lock the doors and disconnect the phone lines.
No.
It was a little bit of a different time in 1989. August 12th. It was today in 1939.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The movie The Wizard of Oz premiered on a movie screen in Wisconsin. The first people to ever see The Wizard of Oz on a movie screen in a movie theater saw it at a movie theater in a town called Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Figuring, and that movie went on to be called one of the greatest movies ever made.
It was on this date, August 12th, 1999.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Alice Cooper's music publisher reached an out-of-court settlement with Kiss's music publisher over a claim that the Kiss song Dreamin' sounded a little bit too much like Alice Cooper's breakthrough hit, I'm 18. It was on this date, August 12, 1994.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Woodstock 94 kicks off in Socrates, New York, the three-day festival of peace and love, man. Included performances by Aerosmith, the Allman Brothers, The Band, Joe Cocker, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Bob Dylan, Peter Gabriel, Metallica, Todd Rundgren, Santana, and Traffic all in attendance. Probably the biggest thing that will ever happen, music-wise, at least on this date, August 12th, 1968.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
These four dudes you may have heard of called John Bonham, John Paul Jones, Jimmy Page, and Robert Plant met each other for the first time for a rehearsal. They would become... Now, do you know what the first song they ever played together was? And if you have it in front of you, don't cheat. You know what it was?
I don't have it in front of me, and I don't know what it is.
All right, I'll give you a hint.
Train kept a rolling.
There you go. Very good.
An old Yardbird song.
Yes, it was. Aerosmith did that song as well. Happy birthday today to Mark Knopfler. He turns, let's see, born in 1949. He's very old today. More music, trivia, and the songs and stories that go with them starting at noon. Music Notes at noon today with Ginty.
And one other thing I have here, August 12th, it was today in 1994.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The 25th anniversary Woodstock 94 kicks off. But here's what's interesting about that. That was a real good one. They tried doing Woodstock, the 50th anniversary. It got canceled, but something else is happening instead, and I'll explain momentarily. And that's our segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
They wanted to do the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. They had it set for this one place in upstate New York, and then they said no. Then it was another place in upstate New York near where the original Woodstock happened in 1969.
Then for some reason, it was going to be at the Meriwether Post Pavilion in Landover outside Maryland, and that fell through.
And that got canceled.
Right.
Here's what they're doing, though. The actual Woodstock concert site is going to do a 50th anniversary show this weekend. And what they're going to do, and they've got a couple of the acts who played the original Woodstock. Carlos Santana and John Fogerty are going to play the 50th anniversary at Woodstock. But you have to have a ticket to even be able to drive on some of those streets up there because they don't want a traffic jam to happen like happened 50 years ago when the streets were closed. They're limiting access to the famous field, which is now maintained by the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts. People that have tickets for this special 50th anniversary featuring Carlos Santana and John Fogerty, a couple of guys who played the original Woodstock 50 years ago. Visitors will need travel passes to drive to the site Thursday through Sunday. And only people with tickets for the evening's events can get those passes. And there will be checkpoints. So they are going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Woodstock on that very site, which is hallowed ground, with a couple of people that played the original one. So they're not encouraging people to show up there like they did 50 years ago. Heck, even like they did 25 years ago on the 25th anniversary of Woodstock. But they're having a special deal with a couple of the acts that played the original Woodstock, and you're going to have a ticket, and you're going to have a travel pass to even drive on those roads Thursday through Sunday
to
celebrate.
3 days of peace, love, and red tape to honor the 50th anniversary of Woodstock.
You know, it's interesting. There's a bunch of bands who people don't even know played Woodstock, and John Fogerty's Creedence Clearwater Revival is one of those bands. And the reason why people don't know that a bunch of bands that played Woodstock in 1969 played there is because the bands and their management refused to give the producers of that show permission to use their footage, whether it was video or audio footage, on what would become the Woodstock movie, and then, of course, the Woodstock album. And they all regret it. Every band who said no regrets it, because all the bands that were on the Woodstock album and the Woodstock movie, that helped their careers.
Well, John Fogerty tells, he was on CBS Sunday Morning, not yesterday, but a week ago, and he tells a great story how Creedence was supposed to be like the Saturday night headliner and take the stage at like 8 p.m. And for various reasons, you know, slowdowns and problems with staging and electronics and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other, they didn't get on till like 2 in the morning. And so he looks out to where he can see, and everyone is, you know, like sleeping, basically snoring. And he says that one guy between one of the songs yelled out, "We're with you, John! Keep going!" You know, one lone voice out among, 450,000 people that's still awake and enjoying Creedence. Great story.
Yeah, and he said he played to that one guy,
yeah.
making it seem like. Plus, they just came on. It was the middle of the night after the Grateful Dead did a long set, and people, so a bunch of people were sleeping. So, yeah, I think Blood, Sweat, and Tears was another band, but there were a few bands history forgot because them and their management said we don't give you permission to use our music on the album. And in the movie, because I guess they didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. And boy, did they end up, those acts ended up regretting that move. So something is happening up there for the 50th anniversary. You just have to have a ticket and you have to have a travel pass that is specifically marked to be on those roads of the small town up there in upstate New York this weekend for the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. Coming up on the show, a bear broke into someone's home, and when police came, the bear did not want to be caught, and we will tell you what that bear did. This is fascinating. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The National Hobo Convention wrapped up yesterday in Britt, Iowa. We've talked about this on the show before. I had never heard of Britt, Iowa until I heard of the National Hobo Convention. But they said it was a success. City officials say the four-day event had an estimated economic impact of $22. And even though it was peaceful, police did make several arrests for vagrancy at the National Hobo Convention that wrapped up this weekend yesterday. Over in Britt, Iowa. One of these years, I'm going to line up my vacation, and because I'll be able to kill two birds with one stone. I've never been to Iowa before, never been to Britt, Iowa, and I'll be able to see a bunch of hobos.
Bring some jokes back.
Coming up next on the show, we are going to tell you about an incredible sports. Talk about an underdog. Winning, and we're going to tell you what this meant money-wise that happened over the weekend in baseball. An incredible game. I'm Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. I have two intruder stories I wanted to give you right now. One of them happened yesterday morning in Zachary, Louisiana. A Zachary homeowner shot a naked man who forced his way into a home. These are the kind of stories that I have nightmares about. Imagine you're sitting in your home and all of a sudden a naked guy tries getting in and you got to shoot him. This happened yesterday morning, according to the East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office. The homeowner said he went outside to investigate why his dog was barking. And discovered a naked man next to his dog. The homeowner said he told the naked man several times to back up. I think he said, oh, and by the way, you're naked too. But the naked man didn't listen. The sheriff's office said that the homeowner shot the naked guy after he forced his way into his home. What a Sunday morning. I wake up and I've got a naked guy forcing his way into my home. The East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office, they are investigating this incident. The man's medical condition wasn't released, but he was naked. He tried forcing his way into someone's home in Zachary, Louisiana, yesterday morning, and now... He's in the hospital because he's been shot. That's one intrusion story I have.
There's more?
Yeah. The other one, a bear broke into these people's home in Colorado. All right. So
well, technically, the bear was naked as well because bears are they're naked.
And that didn't happen here. It happened out in Colorado.
Could have happened here.
The homeowners called the cops. And when the cops showed up and animal experts showed up, the bear made a daring escape. He smashed through a hole in the wall. He put a hole in the wall of the house, and he smashed his way out of the house, and he escaped. This happened in Estes Park, Colorado. They say the bear was hungry, and that's why the bear broke into the Colorado home. And he did it at night. And obviously the homeowners, the people that lived there, they were home. So they called the authorities, and upon the officer's arrival, the bear breached a hole in the wall like the Kool-Aid man and made its escape. And there's some pretty cool pictures here, too. I'm going to get these on our website at bayou957.com. These are pretty cool. There's thousands of black bears in Colorado. And they frequently enter people's cars and homes, and they only do it for one reason. They're hungry. They're looking for food. And, if you think they're going in there to kill people, well, when people showed up to confront the bear put a hole in the wall and then jumped out and took off into the night, and they have no idea where the bear is. So when it comes to the intruders, the naked bear was more successful in Colorado than the naked man in Zachary, Louisiana, because at least the naked bear is still enjoying his freedom, where the guy in Zachary can't say that. Coming up on the show, did you see what happened Friday at the hairdresser place in Gentilly when one of the customers wasn't happy with what she was charged? We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So Friday night, the Saints kicked off their preseason in the Superdome. They didn't look that great. A few of their studs, their best players, played a couple of possessions. But we didn't see Drew Brees. We'll see him probably this weekend. Their defense didn't look very good. But again, first week of preseason, long way to go. Yesterday, there was one of the biggest upsets in baseball history. Now, you know the difference between betting in football and baseball, right? When the Saints have a home game during the regular season and they're favored to win, they're favored by 7 points or 8 points. That means if you bet on the Saints, they have to win by more than 7 points or by more than 8 points, whatever the point spread is. Pretty simple, right? Baseball's not like that. Baseball odds in betting, and I'm going to explain, because this past weekend and yesterday was one of the biggest upsets in baseball history. You had one of the best teams in baseball, the Houston Astros, playing one of the worst teams in baseball, the Baltimore Orioles. As a matter of fact, Saturday night, Houston beat Baltimore 23-3. And I'm not talking about football. That's baseball. So in baseball, there's no run spread like there's a point spread. In baseball, it's the money line. Yesterday's money line in the Houston Astros-Baltimore Orioles game was 420. Meaning, if you wanted to bet on Houston beating Baltimore, which was probably going to happen, you had to bet $420 to make $100. And if you wanted to bet on Baltimore to surprise Houston, you had to bet $100 to make $420, right? That's how it works in Vegas. Well, Houston was winning that game yesterday, but then the Orioles came back in the bottom of the ninth and won the game on a walk-off home run. And they said it was the biggest baseball upset in 12 years since 2007. That's the whole $420 money line. That's what that is. So if if some bettors woke up yesterday and they were feeling fairly lucky and they were feeling, I think Baltimore can come back from last night's 23-3 baseball loss to
Which
Houston.
Is the great nature of baseball, that that's possible on any given day.
That's right. They play 162 games in the regular season. And every once in a while, something crazy could happen. So the Baltimore Orioles record going into yesterday, 39 wins and 78 losses. And they beat the Houston Astros, whose record going into yesterday was 77 wins and 41 losses. And that's why the money line was so high at 420. And so anybody that decided, you know what, I think this is going to be great. I think Baltimore's going to wake up after losing by 21s last night, and they bet $100 or $200 on Baltimore yesterday. They want some good cash.
Well, since I'm an Orioles fan, we're going to play it. It sounded like this.
Well, it's a one-run game. Here's Ruiz.
There it goes! Way back! And the Orioles are going to walk it off! Ruiz comes through! Home runs in back-to-back days, and the Orioles win it.
It's time.
Listen how excited that guy was for the Orioles to up their record to 40 wins and 78 losses.
Right.
Well, when you're calling their games, anything, they lose every night. Anything that helps you win will get you that excited. So I thought that was something, the biggest baseball upset in 12 years. Coming up next, we'll tell you what happened at a hairdresser place over in Gentilly when a customer wasn't happy about, we'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. I have an update on a story we talked about last week on the show. We told you about this guy who was on trial in Baton Rouge for double murder, and his defense attorney was hoping that he could find jurors that would look past all of his face tattoos. Guy's got tattoos all over his face. He looks scary as you know where. And his defense attorney was hoping to find some jurors who weren't judging a book by its cover. And then we talked about it. I put this guy's mugshot up on our website, bayou957.com. And I was talking about it last week saying, look, we all prejudge people. Anybody who looks at this guy with all of these face tattoos, neck tattoos, everywhere, it would be very difficult for them not to judge him looking like that. Well, that was last week. Here's the update. On Friday, the heavily face tattooed man was convicted in the Louisiana double murder. So I guess it wasn't that easy for jurors to not judge a book by its cover. Well, between that and the evidence they had on him, his name is William Bottoms Jr. He's 29 years old, and on Friday, jurors found him guilty on 2 counts of murder, second-degree murder for a double shooting that happened back in 2017. So they ended up convicting this guy. And I remember when we talked about it last week on the show, it would be hard to find any human being who would look at this guy and not prejudge him, at least not think of something when it came to all of those face, head, and neck tattoos. And I think if someone said that they don't have an opinion about that, they would probably be lying. And I know in most cases in life, we should never judge books by their covers. But here, you've got a guy on trial for double murder And besides all the evidence they have, this guy's face tattoos are as scary. He makes him look scarier than pretty much any human being walking upright on two legs and 2 feet could look. So boy, oh boy. And again, if you haven't seen this guy, if you missed the show last week, we still got that story in his mugshot up there on our website at Bayou957.com. And he'll be spending the rest of his life in prison. And I'm sure his facial tattoos will help him a lot more on the inside than on the outside. I mean, I couldn't imagine anybody hiring this guy for a job, but he won't have to worry about that anymore. And did you see the story that happened in Gentilly on Friday while that jury up there in Baton Rouge was finding that guy guilty of double murder? This woman goes in to get her hair done this past Friday afternoon in Gentilly. And she brought a man with her. I guess he just sat there while she was getting her hair done. After she got her hair done, the hairdresser told her, okay, it's time to pay. The woman started arguing with the hairdresser when it came to how much she had to pay. They were arguing. So the man who was with the customer then gets involved. He hopped out of his chair, and he, along with the woman who just got her hair done, attacked the hairdresser. The man stabbed her in the head and the hand with a box cutter. And then they took off outside the door. We don't know the condition as of right now of the hairdresser, but that's pretty rough stuff. And it was a Friday afternoon, just doing business like normal at the hair place. And that was on Wildair Drive in Gentilly. And the 32-year-old hairdresser, she did the hair of the 27-year-old customer. But when it came time to pay, I guess that's when all hell broke loose. And you would think, you know, they always say about police officers, there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. Well, maybe in some places, maybe there's no routine way of getting your hair done. And our thoughts are with the hairdresser, and I hope they find these two who did this to that woman. Coming up on the show, we've got Chick-fil-A making a big announcement of what you'll be able to eat, something new that's on their menu starting today. And we'll tell you about the strip club who's taking all kinds of heat for a sign they put in front of their establishment. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Newly released test scores show that only 37% of American high school seniors are proficient in basic math. Only 37%. I feel sorry for the other half. We do. So if you like Chick-fil-A, because I like Chick-fil-A, and I know Chick-fil-A, they're the most successful fast food chain here in America. And I know one side of the political aisle doesn't like them as much as the other side. And that's only because, well, maybe part of the reason is because they're closed on Sunday and they can't get that deliciousness on Sundays. And they're closed on Sundays because the owners of Chick-fil-A, the name, they told all their franchisees that you close on Sunday because they're religious and they believe in that. And because they're religious, they also believe that marriage should be between one man and one woman. And because some people don't agree with that, they call them homophobes, they call them haters, and all kinds of stuff goes on with Chick-fil-A. We told you the story They're building a new airport terminal in San Antonio, Texas. Chick-fil-A was set to be one of the restaurants in there, but the city council voted, no, we're not going to have haters and people that aren't inclusive. We're not going to have them open up a store in the new airport terminal, although I think that has reopened. And there's a battle going on right now with that Chick-fil-A in that new airport terminal in San Antonio, Texas.
But all this despite the fact that there's no recorded instance of anyone being turned away from Chick-fil-A for any reason based on sex.
Of course not.
Color, creed, religion, all of those things.
No, and look, you can believe because of your Christian beliefs, you can believe that marriage should be between one man and one woman. You're allowed to have an opinion, and if you are very Christian, if you're very religious, that's your opinion. You're allowed to have that, and you shouldn't be called a hater or a homophobe because of that. Look, we can all agree to disagree on some issues, right? Without screaming at people, calling them names, and calling them things that they aren't.
Well, some would say we used to be able to do that, but political discourse and just discourse in general has gotten so such a scorched earth policy with many people. The thing that's I think is fascinating with Chick-fil-A is that you can look at it as just that. You can say, well, this is their beliefs, and they're closed on Sunday, and they support quote-unquote traditional marriage, as you describe it. But there are some people who at least do some research a little bit deeper, and they'll find out the various organizations that the owners of Chick-fil-A, the not Shelley family, escaping my name, it's not right in front of me, but anyway, the various causes that they support their donation dollars to. And that's what gets really, I find that really interesting when people do that research, but that can be problematic. We didn't really talk about this. This happened a couple months ago. There is a dairy in northwestern Indiana. It is called Fair Life, or the product is called Fair Life milk that it produces. It is under the umbrella of the Coca-Cola company, and the dairy, the farm, which I have been to on more than one occasion, on the way from Chicago to Indianapolis, they had a undercover video released of cattle being treated very poorly, kicked, punched, hit. Just all kind of mistreatment that you can think of. And a lot of folks said, well, that's it. I'll never buy Fairlife milk again, made by Fair Oaks. And it was taken off of almost all store shelves. Some smaller groceries in Jefferson Parish, where I live, have started carrying it again. But there are people who will say, I'll never use this product again. And if you're of that bent, that's fine. But do your research and don't wave the flag just against this one company who have dozens of dairies. They can't know what goes on in every single one. Sure. You know, boycott Coca-Cola as well. But do your research if you have a problem with treatment of animals. Does the shampoo that you use, do they test on animals? The soap products you use, ladies, the makeup products you use, do they test on animals? So don't just wave the one flag against that one company. I happen to like Fairlife milk because I'm lactose intolerant, and it works best for me. It is a filtering system, and I enjoy that product, and I'm sorry I continue to use it. If you want to hate me, that's fine.
And the people that started the Chick-fil-A franchise, it's the Cathy family.
Cathy family.
S. Truett Cathy was the guy who started it, a devout Southern Baptist, and that's what he is. And look, don't call them haters and don't call them homophobes, because they're very religious people and they happen to believe in traditional marriage. That they're allowed to have that opinion. And again, they do so much good work, but a lot of people just they won't see past that. And they got to realize, those people have to realize that you're allowed to have opinions in this country. And this happens to be a faith-based opinion. And so what? Anyways, the reason I brought this up, starting today at all Chick-fil-A's,
mm-hmm,
macaroni and cheese will be available. And with the way they do everything else, you know there it's probably going to be very good mac and cheese. It'll be available as a side with lunch and dinner, as a kid's meal, and in catering orders. So starting today, nationwide, Chick-fil-A just got a lot cheesier. They are serving macaroni and cheese.
We just checked the traffic camera on Veterans. There's already a line at that Chick-fil-A.
Coming up next, we're going to tell you about the strip club that's taken a lot of heat for a sign that they put out in front of their business. We'll explain next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So this strip club in Omaha, Nebraska is making headlines because of a sign that they have out front of their establishment. The name of the place is Candy's Gentleman's Club, and that's spelled with a K, Candy. And the sign outside of that club reads, and I'm quoting, "Fully nude girls. Stay-at-home moms earn extra cash. Apply inside." Well, some people who drove by that sign weren't happy about it. As a matter of fact, one woman said, quote, "My son has seen this sign, and he has asked me, Mom, why would moms go be naked? Why do they want naked moms?" One woman named Jetta Evland told her local news there. She said, "My son can read that. He knows what nude means. And it's just kind of terrible." So I guess the fact that, I mean, it's a strip joint there that the kids walk by isn't that big of a deal. The fact that they have that sign out front that says "fully nude girls, stay-at-home moms earn extra cash, apply inside." That's what's bothering the people. And now they're gonna go to their local authorities and local representatives and see if they can get them to take that sign down. If the business owner would say, "Look, it's my establishment. I could put what I want on this sign outside." But I think if enough of the neighbors complain and they say, "We don't want to see that sign outside that says 'fully nude girls, stay-at-home moms earn extra cash, apply inside,' because it's bothering some of our children." One of the council members in Omaha City, Nebraska, said that the establishment had its liquor license denied, but they are going through the appeals process. So they're already trying to make this business's life not easy by denying them their liquor license. And the strip joint can open, but strip joints without booze, some would tell you it's kind of like going to a baseball game without bats.
It's like a library with no books.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Well, this club does happen to have a history because it is the neighborhood it's in Omaha, Nebraska. There are a couple of schools nearby. And so when the kids are walking by, the city council already unanimously voted to recommend that the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission deny the liquor license to Candy's and to do whatever they can to possibly make their lives uncomfortable. But I wonder how this club would go if, sure, it stayed there, but you just can't have the sign outside. And if you want to have a sign outside, perhaps move it to a neighborhood where there's not a couple of schools that young kids that have to walk by this place all the time can see.
On the Facebook page for Candy's Gentleman's Club in Omaha, Nebraska, a couple of comments. One says, "Beautiful women, excellent experience." This again on Facebook reviews for there. that business's page. Another says, this place is a blemish, a sore, a gangrenous pustule that is filled with great stench. Only a sick human would be at home. This place should leave the area. And the third comment here, Mad Gay, yo, I don't get that.
As someone who owned a restaurant and a bar for a couple of years.
Can I just say this again? A sore, gangrenous pustule.
Must have been.
I've had people call me that on the text.
Must have been an English major. That's some good. That's some good writing.
Brewster, you sore, gangrenous pustule.
I owned a restaurant and a bar for a couple of years in Miami Beach, and yes, it's still standing. The building basically
smoldering. You said insurance fire.
You know, as a business owner, a small business owner, you know, I thought you could pretty much do what you want. You could, you know, you don't have to serve people, and we've talked about issues under that umbrella before. You don't have to serve people if you don't want to, if they smell, if they're dressed funny, if they, whatever the case may be.
No, but your signage has to be within that community's accepted policies for acceptable. You can't go down the road of saying obscene, because that opens that whole can of worms, and I'll know obscene if I see it. But
well, I think your signage,
in the public interest, near, you know, in a school zone, blah blah blah.
Yeah, and I think that's just part of being someone who's good, a business that's good for the community. You have to think about that, and you know, even as someone who's owned a business. I think this club here, the strip club in Omaha, Nebraska, being located close to schools and having the sign out there like that, you don't want your kids to have to see this kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, I just saw one of my Facebook friends who just posted a video of a neighborhood in New Orleans this morning, kids standing on the corner waiting for the school bus. And two prostitutes just walked right by them down the street. I just saw that this morning on Facebook with one of my Facebook friends. That popped up on my feed.
Right.
And so, again, as someone who has owned a business, you have to be considerate of the neighbors and the neighborhood. Because if you're not, they'll turn on you. And that could make your life a total living hell as a business owner. And they've already started to do that with this place in Omaha, Nebraska.
Interestingly, Candy's Gentleman's Club in Omaha, Nebraska is on Blondo Street. It has near it a Dairy Queen. I'm looking at Google Maps. Near it a Dairy Queen, Burger King, Maloney's Irish Pub, Family Dollar, Thrift Store, Lollipop Patch Childcare is literally right across, just catacornered across the street. And on the same street, next block, St. Pius X and St. Leo Catholic School. I mean, this is literally, you could probably throw a rock from Candy's Gentleman's Club through the window of St. Pius X and St. Leo Catholic School. I'm just throwing that out there.
It seems like all things that are there should be there, except something that is sticking out like a sore thumb.
I don't
or
see.
Or sticking out like something else.
Mm-hmm. You're bragging again. I don't see any other establishments like that in that area. So, you know, because generally you will see one, if there's one on one block, it'll be one on the next, across the street or whatnot.
I'm almost always on the side of business here in the United States in a capitalistic country, because I believe in that. But there are times when the business needs to respect the neighborhood that they're in. And I think this is one of those times where, boy, do you want your kids seeing that? We'll see what happens there. But fully nude girls, stay at home moms, earn extra cash, apply inside. That big sign outside of Candy's Gentleman's Club in Omaha, Nebraska, not making the neighbors happy. Hey, coming up next, there's a movie that Leonardo DiCaprio made back in the mid '90s, before he was the huge star he is today. That he's going out of his way to stop people from seeing. And now he's being sued by the guy that made the movie. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So Leonardo DiCaprio is a big star now, but in 1995, he was still kind of new, trying to climb his way up the ladder. he and his buddy, Tobey Maguire, who was pretty much unknown at that point, too, and then he went on to have a huge career, they made a movie with some friends of theirs, and the movie is called Don's Plum. And it's about a group of kids hanging around Hollywood, that young adults that hang out. Anyways, Leonardo DiCaprio is fighting everything with everything he's got to keep this movie from being shown in the United States and in Canada, because the things he says, the things he does, especially in the hashtag MeToo movement, doesn't look very good the way he talks about and treats girls in this movie. It's called Don's Plum, and there's millions of dollars of lawsuits going on trying to keep this movie from stop being shown here in the United States.
So whatever you do, don't see it.
Well, we'll see if the producer can get a court order to get it released. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire financier, made a little news over the weekend. Stay tuned for that on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Are you a breakfast cereal person? I love breakfast cereal. As a matter of fact, if it was socially acceptable, I'd probably eat breakfast cereal two or three times a day. There's some news out of the breakfast cereal world. You ever eaten Lucky Charms?
Not in this decade of my life, nor like the past two or three, I wouldn't think. I was never a big Lucky Charms fan. The little marshmallows
different color marshmallows.
Well, they were dry, powdery. It's like chalk marshmallows. It's not a real marshmallow, but go ahead.
Well, and when I was younger, sure, Lucky Charms.
It's not one of my favorites.
But they would, along with the marshmallows, they would also have the little hard, crunchy pieces, and that was the part of the cereal that was good for you.
Oh, right.
Better for you than the sugary colored marshmallows.
Well, they all have too much sugar, but that's...
Here's the reason why I'm bringing this up.
All right.
Lucky Charms now, they're selling bags of just marshmallows cereal for under $2.
Mind blown.
Well, some people on social media, they're losing it. Lucky Charms teamed up with Jet Puffed Marshmallows to offer $1.50 bags of just marshmallows. And the marshmallows are bigger and puffier than the marshmallows that are found in the cereal.
Which gets to what I was talking about.
Someone wrote on Facebook, quote, Lucky Charms with no pretense of being healthy. Where can I get some? Unquote.
Another says, mad gay, yo.
And then a third person wrote, I have advocated for this since I was 6 years old. So there are people that just wanted... They just wanted this, and the brand said the new Lucky Charms magically delicious marshmallows will start appearing on supermarket shelves this month in August.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to walk right on by them. Well, here's one that this is not breakfast cereal, but here's one that I like that they got it absolutely right. You're familiar with Gardetto's. I think we have Gardetto's in our machine. It's the little thing. You get like a little pretzel, like a little tube kind of a thing. That's not really, it's not a cheese thing, but it's like another
little
snack. It's
got like maybe
snack.
A corn checker there, rice checks.
No, let me describe. That's Chex Mix. That's a whole different thing. Now these are probably, this would be like Chex Mix grown up. Chex Mix for adults, Gardetto's. But then the killer is like the little rye chip, the little dark brown rye chip. They actually, many years ago, came out with the bag of just the rye chips. And it's like, hallelujah. It's like you could hear harps go off.
Well,
yeah.
It's like Captain Crunch. They've always had Captain Crunch with crunch berries.
That was one of my favorites as a kid. Not the peanut butter kind or any of that, but the one with crunch berries.
I love that. And I was just in Rouse's the other day, and I noticed they have Captain Crunch with crunch berries. And then right next to that, just crunch berries.
Oh, really?
So they're eliminating the Captain Crunch, and they're just leaving you with the crunch berries. But what makes that different than the Lucky Charms, who is just now selling the marshmallows, there was never a part of the Captain Crunch with crunch berries that was supposed to be healthy or good for you. It was all pure sugar. Because just if you remove the crunch.
What's the part in Lucky Charms this was supposed to be healthy?
Not the marshmallows.
In your mind?
The other part. Doesn't that have oats in it or grain?
They all have some sort of cereal. I mean, they're made. That's why they're called cereal. They're not. The name didn't come from what's in the box. It came from what's outside that they put together and put in the box. That's the grain. That's the cereal. But no, it's not like when you call pizza healthy. It's not healthy. It's not good for you.
Well, I said
it can be made less unhealthy things, and cereals would be in that category as well.
No, well, I've always said I wonder why pizza, especially with a meat topping,
can't be
considered covering all the food groups
right.
with one meal.
So it must be healthy. That's Dr. Osterlund's tip of the day for you. See, I like granola, but granola, unless you get like low fat, low sugar.
Got a lot of sugar
in it. It's one of the worst things you can eat. Granola has so much fat and sugar in it. But it's good.
I know getting old beats the alternative.
Yes.
But boy, you know, I never in my life thought I'd be looking at the side of boxes when I bought food. Maybe that's why now I have to look at the side of boxes when I buy food.
Because, I told you 10 years ago, Mr. Coca-Cola.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, anyways, if you can do it, enjoy the Lucky Charm marshmallows. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Ginty is coming in next.
Ginty.
He's got your music notes at noon, and we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.